Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Y2 Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Elliott, and on this podcast, I look to answer a simple yet powerful question. How can we ask better questions to live better lives? As always, I want to take a moment and just acknowledge if this is your first episode, let me welcome you and thank you very much. Or if you're a regular listener and subscriber, welcome back. For those joining us for the first time, this mini-series is all about exploring how can we ask better questions to live a better life and help us be happier, healthier, and more successful in all the various aspects of life. The mini-series has been made up of two parts. The first part, like today, is where I break this question down into smaller, bite-sized topics where we can start to look at different strategies, tactics, and approaches to help you ask better questions to live a better life. The other part was made up of short interviews with a variety of professionals who all share one common bond. Their ability to do their jobs largely depends on their ability to ask good questions. So far, we've recorded with qualitative researchers, data scientists, police officers, high-priced consultants, professional interviewers, personal coaches, and other top professionals so we can learn how to ask questions like a police detective or a researcher, like coming up later this week. Make sure if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes where we're going to continue to build on the concepts and you'll hear today. Links to everything, as always, on the Y2 Podcast website at projecty2.com. That's projecty2.com, where you can check out more resources on the topic and even jump onto our mailing list so you can stay up to date with new episodes, as well as tips, resources, and a whole range of other things. As always, I want to take a quick minute and thank the Y2 Podcast official sponsor, YZ. YZ is an easy-to-use online training software that makes it so simple to create and deliver online learning. If you haven't already, make sure you jump over to their website at yzed.com, that's W-Y-Z-E-D.com, to check out some videos and even get started with your own 14-day free trial. All right, but enough of the intro. Let's get into it today. Now, I want to say from the outset that today's episode is going to seem really basic, but that's for a reason. As part of the podcast and following up from last week, we're going to go back to first principles because there's no point learning more advanced techniques and pulling from some of the amazing advice that the guests that I've interviewed are providing us if we don't have the first principles, the basics down. And it's not even just the general first principles themselves, it's being able to embrace those and adopt those and use those when it's hard that really counts. You see, at the root of asking questions, we're really just seeking to learn and explore. And sometimes those underlying objectives can become clouded by emotions and that steers our thoughts and our words away from asking the right questions. And today, following up from last week's episode where we talked about the two biggest enemies or barriers to asking good questions, we're now going to flip that coin over and look at the two most important keys to help us unlock the ability to ask good questions and get the right answers. Now, like I said, I'm going to say it again, today's topics aren't going to seem revolutionary or overly mind-blowing. In fact, I hope it's something that you already know. But I want you to keep in mind that it's not just about knowing it, but it's about being able to practice it in those hard moments, in those challenging moments, in those emotional moments. That is really where I want to focus on. While you're sitting and having a great conversation with a friend at a coffee shop or hanging out, you know, in a lovely conversation, those are great opportunities to have good questions. And I certainly, again, hope we all have that. But the thing is there's going to be times in life where we're not in those situations and we still need to maintain these fundamental principles, no matter how hard it is. Because, as I believe, and I've said before on the previous version of the podcast, we fall to the level of our training. We don't rise to the level of our hopes. And it's in those challenging conversations, it's in those emotionally challenging spaces that we find ourselves in, is when a lot of the stuff really counts, where we can really move the needles and we're asking those questions that we're trying to learn become even more impactful. So, with that being said, let's talk about the first key, and that's kindness. As I mentioned, it's not just kindness in the coffee shop or hanging out with friends. That's easy. That becomes natural. And kindness, obviously, in those opportunities allows us to connect with somebody else, to connect on that emotional level, to build that empathy, and to be able to dive deep into really meaningful conversations. But I want to talk now about when we're angry, upset, and leading with the question that probably goes something along the lines of, what the fuck were you thinking? Or something else of why you were demanding someone why they did something. Now, you probably know what happens next. That person will shut down, or will shut down, if just in case we're on the receiving end of it. And no matter who's engaging in it, there's a reciprocation of the same energy that that person's bringing in. And the conversation can quickly become adversarial, and you're going to end up exploring the depths of mean things you can hurl at each other instead of trying to get on the same side as somebody and into someone's shoes and explore what happened. Why are you at that junction, at that point? It kind of reminds me of a George Carlin quote, a joke. And he basically spoke about how when we're driving down the road, everybody going slower than us is an idiot, and everyone driving faster than us is a maniac. The thing is that to somebody else, you're both these people. And if we're not leading with kindness in either of these scenarios in life, we're not going to understand the reasons why somebody did what they did and why. And obviously in that, trying to be able to explore maybe it not happening again. Maybe you're actually the person wrong in this scenario, but we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Or what about kindness to yourself? I believe that some of the most important questions we ask in life are the ones we ask ourselves. So one big thing I'll talk about through this podcast is that I believe that general unhappiness is caused by some missed expectations in our lives. Mixed expectations, about the amount of money you make, you know, your personal image, relationships, or goals you didn't meet. And questions become the opportunity to really dive into that and to understand those expectations, understand the why. But in these moments, as we engage in our inner dialogue, we can approach it with such an emotion that it steers our thoughts and words away from asking those right questions of ourselves. And in the absence of kindness, that will change the direction you go and the answers you uncover within yourself. Now, the second one is probably also really obvious as well, and that's openness. We spoke about this last week when we talked about cognitive biases, which is essentially, in a very, very basic sense, it's the sort of underlying software that our brains run, which help filter, interpret, and then recall information in a certain way. And one of the key cognitive biases, or a theme around some of the cognitive biases, is that we can begin to feel threatened when something is challenging us. Essentially, when this happens, our egos hop into the driver's seat and can take us down a path where our questions, if we're still asking them at this point, can lead us to try and entrench how we're right, not maybe learning and exploring the actual situation and what's going on. Now, there's a lot more to it, as we'll talk about when it comes to cognitive biases, but it's something we still want to talk about and something we want to start to cultivate an awareness of that this ability to be able to be open to things, the ability to still hold on to your assumptions and beliefs. I'm not going to advocate for an outright rejection, but the ability to hold on to those things while still engaging with an open mind in a conversation, a dialogue, and asking questions in order to explore other ideas or avenues, which may actually lead you away from your original thoughts and assumptions. And again, we're not talking about in the coffee shop. We're talking about those heated moments, those emotional moments that can really move the needle in our life. So to use kind of a lighter example, like I spoke about last week, you know, maybe somebody cut you off and you thought that person was an asshole. Well, maybe your headlight's broken and they didn't see you or something like that. It's this ability that we can still hold that in our mind, but we can go through and explore to help understand that and to better ourselves when those opportunities come up. And again, getting back to the questions you ask yourself, asking yourself the tough questions can be very confronting. And again, your brain is actively working to prevent you from having to deal with those tough questions, but that's holding you back to where you are today. I mean, you've probably seen the quotes out there that growth is just beyond, you know, your comfort zone. And this is really what it's all about. It's being able to embrace that openness in these opportunities so that when we're faced with this information, we can grow and we can evolve as individuals. Now, I was having a conversation a few weeks back, and I was chatting with a friend of mine about these concepts. And they said something that I do think is important to acknowledge. They said, look, if somebody does something to me that causes me to be that angry and that upset, I'm kind of at the point where I don't really care if I'm not open, and I don't care if I'm not kind about these situations. And I can certainly understand where they're coming from. I can pull upon my own experience when you're so enraged that somebody's done something to you, or you perceive somebody's done something to you, that these sort of things are an open and kindness. You feel that the person maybe doesn't deserve it in that moment. But one of the things I said back to them was that If you do ignore these two things, kindness and openness, you actually begin to work against your own self-interest. You see, by throwing them out, you'll essentially be, you won't be able to explore the understanding the factors, the root causes, or other important components in trying to understand what happened, why did they do what they do, or what the situation was. And if we're not able to obviously understand that, then effectively we can't solve anything. And more likely, more often than not, we're going to be back in the same boat again and again and again. And I certainly don't think anybody wants to be in that boat in the first place. So by trying to practice these principles, the point is to be able to not be back in those same situations, but also seizing upon the learning opportunities to apply it to other scenarios to avoid that even in the first place. Now, bad things are still going to happen to us. And unfortunately, there's really, no matter who you are, no matter what you do to a certain extent, things are still going to happen. But I want you to think about those times as opportunities to practice openness and kindness, as a way to start unlocking, as I said, our toolbox of question-asking skills and the ability to be able to dive in and really look at those opportunities to grow and learn. You're going to grow and learn anytime you ask questions, but in those challenging circumstances, I find personally, those are really the best times to learn and grow. By being able to practice that openness and that kindness, it's really back at the core of human connection. And this is where the real magic happens, I believe. So by practicing this as much as you can, you're really going to unlock a new skill set, one that is going to, I promise you, serve you so well. And especially as we continue to talk about more advanced skills, this is really where it comes back together. Now, this would probably be a pretty good spot to stop today's episode, but as always, I do still want to leave you with a few strategies. I want you to, again, not wait to episode 15 or 20 or whenever we get around to digging into more of these concepts. I want you to start thinking about this now, today, at the very second that you finish this podcast episode, and I want to leave you with a few suggestions as to how you can get started. And the first one, and something that maybe seems too simple to be true, but it's take a breath. Take two or three breaths if you have to. Build that reflex of, instead of that input turning into an emotional response, being able to pause that, being able to build a bit of a gap in there so you can you can give your brain a moment to cognitively think about openness and kindness and map out a strategy before you just blurt out whatever you probably want to say that maybe isn't necessarily the best thing. Also, as we'll talk about more in the future, also think about before you have any conversations like this, and when possible, try and gather evidence or background information to inform yourself as much as possible. When I interviewed retired police detective Narell Fraser, I was actually really shocked about how much preparation they did before speaking to somebody who is accused. Now, you may not be investigating a sexual assault or a rape like Narell did, but doing research beforehand helps to guide your questions and allows you to prepare a range of things beforehand to help you ask better questions and handle the flow of conversation. And maybe most importantly, and as I've mentioned, practice, practice, practice. Use every opportunity you engage with somebody to deliberately think about and make sure that you're maintaining a practice of openness and kindness. by these small little bits of practice, they're going to add up to allow you to be reflexively engaging with these two principles, these two keys. And in through that repetition and that practice, and when you find yourself in that emotionally charged moment, it's going to be so much easier to hold that. And I guarantee you, you're going to be far more successful at being able to engage in the right questions and being able to understand the factors and creating the best possible outcome. But with that being said, we'll leave it at there today. The next episode is going to feature the wonderful Ainsley Williams. Ainsley is a qualitative researcher and an entrepreneur running a company called Quali. Ainsley is fantastic. She is an amazingly articulate lady. And interviewing is basically what she does as a profession, as a qualitative researcher. So she's got some amazing insights. Make sure you check that out. And with that being said, I look forward to speaking with you soon. Hey everyone, just before I head off, I want to take another quick moment and thank you very much for joining me for today's episode. As always, a big thank you to our sponsor, YZ. Don't forget to check them out for your own free 14-day trial. Remember, if you like this episode and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to the YT Podcast wherever you find your podcasts so you don't miss out on any new episodes as they come out. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review if you haven't already. Really appreciate that. Also, make sure you check out our YouTube page if you want to watch many of these episodes online. And of course, you can jump over to the Y2 Podcast website. That's projecty2.com, projecty2.com, where you can subscribe to our mailing list to get weekly topical articles and resources and a range of additional content not released on the Y2 Podcast, all focused on helping you ask better questions to live a better life. And with that being said, I'll speak to you soon.